This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So last week we started asking the question, should Florida eliminate property tax? And this is something that really can be applied not only to the state of Florida, but to all of the states. And there are actually several states that are right now considering eliminating property tax, including the state of Florida. And Governor DeSantis has appointed or has spoken favorably on toward eliminating property tax, and has said that it would require a constitutional amendment because property tax is a local issue in many cases. And certainly local governments are funded. School systems are funded, the police are funded, the fire district is funded. And when you hear people talking about eliminating property tax, you'll hear people from certain parties and certain maybe even local governments saying, well, you know, we need money and this is how we get our money. And certainly the government does need money. Now, how much do they need? We can debate on how much they need. I would say they need far less than what they receive. Of course, if they receive far less, they need to be, one, more efficient with the money that they have, and two, they need to actually do less. And really, I believe the Bible actually proposes limited government. And so we're going to look at this, continue to look at this, and we're not really advocating that local governments receive no money or that we defund the police or defund the fire department or defund schools or anything like that. Certainly, those local agencies will need some form of revenue, and that will come from other forms of taxation if property taxes are eliminated. What we're focusing on here is whether property tax is a biblical concept, whether it violates the principles of God, because it may or may not have ever occurred to you, but the Bible speaks to every area of life. It not only talks about, and many people only apply the Bible, and in fact, even many ministers only apply the Bible to a few areas. They may apply the Bible to your personal life, certainly. They may apply the Bible to your family. They may apply the Bible to church government to some extent and what the church should do. Although, you know, when you start getting into the church, sometimes there's not as much emphasis on the Bible directing how the church should actually function and how the church should work. But rarely do you see the Bible being applied to government. But God instituted government. God created you. He created the family. He created the church. And he created government. And the Bible speaks to every area of life. And we are going to apply biblical principles to the government, and we are going to apply biblical principles when it comes to taxation as well. We did speak on this subject last week, and if you want to hear that sermon, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com. You can not only hear it, but you can also see it as well. And we also have it up on our church Facebook page and our church YouTube channel. Although Facebook has actually suggested that they are going to start removing videos that are older than 30 days. So some of the older stuff, you may have to go over to YouTube on our YouTube channel to see those. But Certainly. We're going to review what we covered last week, and we're going to cover new ground this week as well. So when we look at biblical principles on taxation, one of the things we see is that the Bible does talk about taxation. And the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt as slaves and they went into the promised land, they actually had no tax. The only tax that they had was actually a tithe. They were supposed to bring a tithe, and there were various uses, and there were various tithes that they were to bring, and those tithes had specific purposes, including the provision for the priest and for the priestly, the basically what was the church at that time. The tithe actually provided not only for their food, but it also provided for the sacrifices that they made. Of course, since Jesus became our Passover lamb, since he became our scapegoat, since he shed his own blood, we no longer need to shed the blood of bulls and goats and sheep anymore. Certainly, there are people that practice Passover, and Passover will be coming up soon. And if you practice Passover, if you follow Passover, you need to realize that that is a type and a shadow for those who were in the Old Testament. It was a type and a shadow of that which was to come. If you practice it today, it's a type and a shadow of what Jesus already did for you on the cross. There's no need to bring bulls and goats and sheep into a church anymore, or into a temple. There's no need for the temple to be rebuilt so that the sacrificial system can be reestablished. That's not needed. But there was tithes, and those tithes were for some of them were for the sustenance of the priest and the actual organization, or the temple, the tabernacle. And you also had outreach for the poor, for specifically for those who couldn't take care of themselves, for widows, for orphans, for those who were seniors who didn't have family. And the Bible speaks quite a bit about charity, family first, and then really those who don't have family that can take care of themselves. You actually have benevolence from the church. But we are looking here. They did not have a king. They did not have a civil government. They were actually self-governing. When there was a war, everyone who was of fighting age would actually go to war. And they would actually, there were certain people that were more valiant than other people, and sometimes God would raise up leader who would actually lead them into battle, but they really didn't have a king. But the children of Israel wanted a king, and so they asked for a king. So God tells Samuel, warn them what the behavior of a king is going to be. And the warning is that he would take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He would take a tenth of your sheep and give it to his servants. So here we see that God defines tyranny as 10%. The tithe is 10%, and any government entity that requires, any government that requires as much from you as God requires from you is a tyrant. And even in this, though, and by the way, if we look at the various taxes that we pay today, we don't just pay taxes on our increase. We also pay taxes. We pay taxes on our increase, certainly. And our increase has various types of taxes. There's Social Security. There's Medicare. There's Medicaid. There's unemployment. You may not see all this if you're an employee, but your employer pays these taxes on your behalf. And some of those taxes on your behalf. There's also your income tax. Some states have income tax. Some cities even have the audacity to have income tax on top of that. You also have tax on your electricity. There's multiple taxing agencies on various, your cell phone bill. Sometimes you'll see federal, state, and local taxation on these. You have taxation on so many different areas. You have to pay a tax to drive to license a vehicle. In fact, if you're licensing a vehicle in a new state, you're going to pay extra tax for bringing that vehicle into that state. Why? Because they can. And they know you can't vote them out. And so you actually, even city, if you have city of water and sewer, even though this is not really technically a tax, governments make money on it, so really it is a tax. There's also your property tax as well. So look at your property tax. And in fact, the government sends out a statement of what the proposed property tax, and look at how many different agencies are on that taking money from property. And so what we're asking is whether this property tax is actually biblical or not. So you see here, 1 Samuel chapter 8, we reference that with God warning, telling Samuel to warn the people of Israel what the behavior of the king would be. Even there, God does not authorize property tax. And there's a specific reason that God doesn't authorize property tax, and that is namely that the earth is the Lord's. It's not the king's, it's not the state's, it's not the cities, it's not the counties, it's not the school districts. The earth is the Lord's, and God has given us the earth. God also designs for people, individuals, to be able to amass wealth and then give that wealth to their children and their grandchildren. The Bible says that a righteous man gives an inheritance to his children and his children's children. And really, property tax does deny, in some cases, the right of inheritance. And so we're going to actually look at this. By the way, we talked about God defining tyranny as 10%. Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac said it would be a hard government that should tax its people 1/10 part of their income. So at the founding of this country, it was viewed really absurd that people would pay 10% income of their income in taxes. Yet today, certainly there are people that pay less than that, but there are a lot of people that pay far more than 10% in taxation. And really, again, we don't even really know all the ways that we pay taxes. When you pump gas in your gas tank, you're paying taxes, and those taxes are supposed to be used for roads, but they also collect extra taxes for that as well. So really, they want to get you in so many different ways, as many ways as they can collect taxes. And by diversifying the number of ways they collect taxes, you don't really even realize how much you're paying in taxes quite often. So when we look at this, so we talked about last week the origin of property tax in America. You had actually in England, you had actually, or in Europe actually, you had kings that would conquer an area, and then they would divide up that area to those who supported them, and those who supported them needed to pay the king a tax. And those who supported them that had access to a certain area, they would divide that up to other people and collect a tax from them. And this was called soakage. And this is something that happened in Europe, and the king wanted to bring this over to America. But as you know, and actually eventually this was adopted where when the king was expelled, eventually the government became took that position of the king and collected property tax in many areas. But as you know, if you know the history of America and the history of the founding era, the founding fathers didn't take too kindly to certain taxation from the government. In fact, there was even a time where they took tea and threw it into the sea because there was government taxation without representation. But R.J. Rushdoony points out that there was a conflict with the King of England over property tax. And actually, in the first session of the 1774 Continental Congress, the Congress actually denied that Parliament could tax real property. So as Gottfried Dietz stated, as to property, the delegates felt it should be free from seizures and taxation. But you know that there wasn't just Christians that were involved. There were also deists, universalists, and even those who didn't believe in God. And eventually, those actually won out, and you actually started seeing this messianic state, and you started seeing government doing more and more for the people. And with that, you see taxation and even property tax coming in, and property tax being legal in New England. And then later on in the South, it was used for really to control the South after the Civil War. We talked last week, and we'll just review this a little bit, the first ever instance of property tax in the Bible. You know, I said earlier that the Bible doesn't support property tax, but there was one time, and in fact, the Bible also doesn't support the government carrying out charitable missions or helping out the poor. That's not something you'll ever see in the Bible, God authorizing that, except for one instance. In this one instance, to lead up to this, Pharaoh had a dream, and there were seven cows that were lean and skinny, and there were seven cows that were fat, and the lean and skinny cows ate the fat cows, but they were still lean and skinny. And he asked for the soothsayers and those who could actually, the wise men to actually interpret the dream, and no one could. But God had actually sent Joseph to Egypt. And you may say, and you look at his story, it's really amazing. His brothers wanted to kill him. One of his brothers had mercy on him, and rather than killing him, sold him as a slave. He then went to Egypt. He was a slave, he was falsely accused, and he was thrown into jail. So not only was he a slave, but he was a prisoner, kind of like the A-team. He was in prison for a crime he didn't commit. But unlike the A-team, he didn't escape every episode and save people. He waited, and God was preparing him for that purpose, and for a purpose of really redeeming and rescuing the entire nation of Israel. Without Joseph being sent into slavery and then being sent into prison, he may not have developed the character, and he certainly would not have been in the position that he would have been in that was needed to save the children of Israel from starvation. The entire nation of Israel, the lineage, the forefathers that would eventually become the lineage of Jesus, actually would have been totally wiped out by famine. Two of the servants of Pharaoh were there. One of them, Joseph, and they both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted one dream that the one man would be restored, and the other man took courage on that, and he said, well, you know, let me have him interpret my dream also. And he said, well, you're going to be put to death. You're going to be executed by Pharaoh. And certainly he was. Both of those came true, and Joseph said, hey, remember me when you get into office, but you know, when you're restored. But he didn't remember him. He forgot about him. But then when Pharaoh had this dream, he said, you know what? I remember that there's a slave who is imprisoned, and he knows and he can actually interpret dreams. And he told him how he had interpreted this dream. So God brings Joseph the Pharaoh brings Joseph out of prison. He interprets the dream. He tells him that there's going to be 7 years of famine. There's also this 7 years of famine are going to be followed, or excuse me, 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And the years of famine will be so severe that they are going to eat up all of the produce from the previous years, and that unless something is done and that abundance is stored up, and people are going to die. And so Pharaoh said, hey, you're a wise man. I'm going to put you over this. So this is really the only time in the Bible that you see the government being authorized to carry out a humanitarian project. And it's also the only time that you'll actually see the authorization, or really it's not necessarily an authorization, but the natural result of what actually happened is slavery and property tax. And so what you see here is that the children of Egypt, they stored up and they brought produce, they brought of the abundance from these seven plentiful years and stored them up, and Joseph was over this. And then when the lean years came, when the years of famine came, the people of Egypt actually came and they bought grain back, their grain that they had given to Pharaoh, they bought back with their money. And then their money ran out, and they came, and this is from Genesis chapter 47, verses 13 through 26. When they had no money, then they brought their livestock and they exchanged their livestock for grain. And then when they had no livestock, they actually said, hey, we don't have any money, we don't have any livestock, but we're going to dine, so we're going to give you our land and we're going to be Pharaoh's slaves. And so what Joseph does is he gives them grain in exchange for their land. They then would become Pharaoh's servants, and he gives them grain not only for their food, but he also gives them enough grain to plow and to plant, and he establishes a 20% tax that the people would live on 80%, but they would actually bring 20% of the produce into Pharaoh. And from that point on, there was property tax in Egypt. And the people of Egypt actually said, we are Pharaoh's servants. And so you see, even a humanitarian project run by the wisest man who was alive at the time, a man who was empowered by God and given wisdom from God in order to carry out this great mission. And you know that the children of Israel did come to Egypt and they sought grain, and they came back to Egypt and actually moved in and lived there, and they were there for a long time, and they started growing in population. And then another Pharaoh came that didn't know Joseph, and they were actually put into slavery. And we know that they actually served as slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But before the Egyptians, or before the Jewish people were put as slaves, were made slaves, the Egyptians were actually made slaves, actually through this humanitarian project that was executed by the wisest person appointed by God for the purpose of really saving the children of Israel and from starvation and the lineage of Jesus. And so you see that even when government intervention is done right, it still results in slavery, it still results in bondage. When we look at the Bible on the earth, we see that first of all, the earth is not the government's. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in Psalm 24, verses 1 through 2, we see that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. So we see that the earth is God's. God is the one who owns the earth, and he has actually given it to us, and we are to pay him a tithe off of that. The government is not permitted in the Bible. Again, it did happen under Joseph in Egypt, but it still is not permitted, and it wasn't permitted under biblical law. Property tax violates property rights and steals inheritance. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, we read, "You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which your men of old have set, in your inheritance, which you shall inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." So the inheritance, the land, was supposed to be passed down from generation to generation to generation. Even in Ezekiel, God orders that the prince, the king, would not be able to evict people from their own property. But that's exactly what happens if someone doesn't pay their property tax. If you don't pay your property tax, well, in the state of Florida, you have homestead exemption, you have homestead rights, you're not going to be evicted while you're alive. But once you're dead, that property tax is going to be paid, or that land is going to be taken. And so it is an unjust, unbiblical form of taxation. And again, we're not saying that local governments need to have no taxation. I believe they need to have far less and need to do far less than what they have and what they do, but they will need taxation. It just needs to come from another form other than property tax. And so we're looking at this and we're applying biblical principles and are in support of removing property tax and restoring really a more biblical form of taxation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Hey Florida, want to help the over 20,000 plus children in the state's foster care system? Join All Pro Dad and the No More Foundation at Coastal Community Church in Lighthouse Point at 5 p.m. on Sunday, April 6th, for an event where you can step up to foster, adopt, or learn how you can help families who are doing the incredibly hard but rewarding work of saving young lives. Text ACTION to 97000 to register for this amazing event today.
Greetings, family. This is Jonathan McLean, the General Manager at WCNO. WCNO Christian Radio at 89.9 is on the air because of our listeners' faithful financial support. March the 31st through April the 11th will be our spring fundraising season. I want to thank each of our partners in advance for your continued support and ask that you please return the pledge forms you receive as soon as possible. If you did not receive a pledge form, you may not be on our mailing list. Please call 772-221-1100 for more information. Uplifting, encouraging, and life-changing, this is your good news station, 89.9.